The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 15, Text Number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 17, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yat sankulam hari padannati matra drishtair vidurya mara katahima mayar vimanai jisang brihat kati tatasmito shobhi mukhiya krishnat manam naraja adadur utsmayadnai.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha travel in their airplanes made of lapis lazuli, emerald and gold. Although crowded by their consorts who have large hips and beautiful smiling faces, they cannot be stimulated to passion by their mirth and beautiful charms. Purport. In the material world, opulence is achieved by materialistic persons by dint of their labor. One cannot enjoy material prosperity unless he works very hard to achieve it. But the devotees of the Lord, who are residents of Vaikuntha, have the opportunity to enjoy a transcendental situation of jewels and emeralds. Ornaments made of gold bedecked with jewels are achieved not by working hard, but by the benediction of the Lord. In other words, devotees in the Vaikuntha world, or even in this material world, cannot be poverty-stricken, as it is sometimes supposed. They have ample opulences for enjoyment, but they need not labor to achieve them. It is also stated that in the Vaikuntha world, the consorts of the residents are many, many times more beautiful than we find in this material world, even in the higher planets. It is specifically mentioned here that a woman's large hips are very attractive and they stimulate man's passion. But the wonderful feature of Vaikuntha is that although the women have large hips and beautiful faces and are decorated with ornaments of emeralds and jewels, the men are so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the beautiful bodies of the women cannot attract them. In other words, there is enjoyment of the association of the opposite sex, but there is no sexual relationship. The residents of Vaikuntha have a better standard of pleasure, so there is no need of sex pleasure.
Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita
Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So this is pretty amazing, actually. The women are even more beautiful than the women of the heavenly planets. They have big hips, big breasts. Beautiful smiling faces. Charming demeanor. But the men are not even slightly agitated by sex desire. So if we told the people that you should come back to Godhead, and we said in the back to Godhead, in the spiritual world, there's no sex. He would say, no sex. That's horrible. That must be hell. That means they do not understand what is actual pleasure. Of course, there is sex there. Radha and Krishna. You see. That is the original sex pleasure. But it is loving relationship. It is not the gross physical sexual intercourse. Actually, Krishna, even though he has so many girlfriends, he is celebrated as the greatest brahmachari, you know that? Yes. Bhishma Dev, he is known as Dhritavrata. By his vow to never marry, he was blessed that he could die only at the time of his choosing. When Krishna was being criticized in the Rajasuya Yagya, Bhishma Dev made this point. He said, actually, I am known as the great Brahmachari. But I can tell you that Krishna is a greater Brahmachari than me. Because if I was in the forest with all those girls, I would have fallen down. But Krishna was strict brahmachari even during rasa dance with all those girls, you see. So there is, Krishna has his pleasure, his girlfriend. But still he is strict brahmachari. So this gross sex pleasure, you see, that is of this material world. We do not find it in the spiritual world. Because this pleasure of Krishna consciousness is millions and billions of times greater than this so-called sex pleasure. Bhagavatam says, Yan maitunadi griyamedi sukham itu cham. That pleasure which is considered the topmost pleasure by the materialistic people. That sexual intercourse. That is considered by the followers of Bhagavatam to be 10th class pleasure. Hituchaṁ, indeed insignificant.
Hituchaṁ, което означава наистина незначително.
We know our Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. Of course now he is departed. He is our famous as our ISKCON scientist.
Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj, който вече напусна, той известен като нашия учен.
And he is also very famous the morning walks that he used to have with Prabhupada in Venice Beach in Los Angeles. He would bring forward the arguments of the scientists. And Prabhupada would smash those arguments. So one day he said, but Prabhupada was speaking against, Prabhupada said, the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. And Sarup Damodar Maharaj, he was Brahmachari then, but he said, but Prabhupada, how to continue the species? Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So this sex pleasure, you see, which is taken, is so a great thing. Everywhere you go, it is simply sex, 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 sex. Every billboard, every magazine, every movie, practically every woman on the street, they dress like prostitutes. Mini skirt. Come on, enjoy sex. They just dress like that, like prostitutes. And the men also, they dress like them. Come on, sex. Come on, sex. Come on, sex. So disgusting. This Vaishnava dress is very nice, you see. Dhoti and sari. I don't like to wear pants. I only wear them when I have to. Because this is Vaikuntha clothes. This tilak, you see. Neck beads. This is very nice. Prabhupada liked us to dress this way. So, by dressing like this, Prabhupada is very happy. So we encourage all of you as much as possible to always wear a Vaishnava dress. Tilak, dhoti, kurta, like that. It's actually very good for your Krishna consciousness. Just try it. You see, the ladies can wear saris, the men can wear dhoti, kurta. Even now, Brahman underwear, men can wear that. All the way from completely Vaishnava dress is very nice. So they may think it is something artificial to give up the sex pleasure. But it is actually a matter of higher taste. If I offered you a bowl of strawberry ice cream with one hand and a bowl of stew with the other hand, would you have a difficult time giving up the stool?
Ако ви предложа в едната едната ръка купа с ягодов суголект, а другата купа с изпражнения. Mm-hmm. Ще ви е трудно ли да изоставите изпражненията?
Krishna consciousness, that is the strawberry ice cream.
Krishna съзнание е като ягодови суголект.
And the sex pleasure, that is the stool. You see?
Сексуалното удоволствие е изпражнението.
You may say, but grihasthas can have sex.
Може да кажете, но грихастите могат да си позволят секс.
How you can say it is stool?
Как може да кажете, че това е изпражнение?
Krishna says, Balang Balvatang Chahang Kama Vraga Vivarjitam Dharmam Vimrudo Bhute Shu Kamos Me Bharatar Shiva. I am that sex which is according to religious principle.
Krishna казва, че той е този секс, който не противоречи на религиозните принципи.
So how you can say it is like stool?
Как може да кажете, че това е като изпражнение?
Even that sex according to religious principles is meant to be given up.
Дори този секс, който е според религиозните принципи, той трябва да бъде изоставен.
It's a temporary concession for those who cannot give it up immediately.
Това е едно временно временна отстъпка за тези, които не могат веднага да го изоставят.
Every ashram is meant for giving up sex.
А всеки ашрам е предназначен за това да се.
A brahmachari is meant to give up sex.
Брахмачари трябва да изостави секс.
Саньяси is meant to give up sex.
Саньяси трябва да изостави секс.
Ванапраста is meant to give up sex. And grihastha also, he is giving up sex. The only difference is, for brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi, it is immediately give up sex. And for grihastha, it is gradually give up sex. Ashram means giving up sex.
Ashram означава секса трябва да бъде изоставен.
Because the sex pleasure pulls you back down into your bodily consciousness automatically.
Защото сексуалното удоволствие автоматично ви сваля на телесно съзнание.
As soon as I think of enjoying sexually,
веднага щом помисля да се наслаждавам сексуално,
I have to identify with my gross body.
Аз трябва да се отъждествя с грубото си тяло.
But Krishna consciousness means to free yourself from identification with your gross body.
Но Кришна съзнание означава човек да се освободи от идентификацията си с грубото тяло.
In other words, if you're Krishna conscious, you will naturally become free from sex desire.
Ако вие сте Кришна осъзнати, по естествен начин ще се освободите от сексуалното желание.
Otherwise, what is the meaning of I am not this body?
Иначе какво е значението на аз не съм това тяло?
If my chadar falls in love with a female chadar,
ако моя чадър се влюби с женски чадър,
what does it have to do with me?
Какво общо има това с мен?
Why should I be affected?
Защо аз трябва да съм повлиян?
If the male body is stimulated by a female body, or my female body is stimulated by a male body, it's not me.
Ако мъжкото тяло е стимулирано от женско тяло или обратното, това не съм аз.
It's just some hormones having a chemical reaction is all it is.
Това са просто хормони, които имат химическа реакция.
I read one article about one man. He had prostate cancer. Yeah.
Четох една статия за един мъж, който имал рак на простата.
So he had to take some heavy treatment to kill the cancer. He completely, this medical treatment completely killed all of his male hormones. And he could walk down the street, he could see women or men, he was like a little boy, there was absolutely no attraction, just because the hormones had been killed. So actually, you men are not attracted to women.
Всъщност, мъжете не са привлечени към жените.
And you women are not attracted to men.
И жените не са привлечени към мъжете.
It's just your male and female hormones doing a little zzzz. That's a...
Просто мъжките и женските хормони се възбуждат.
It's just some chemicals in your body having a little reaction is all it is.
Става въпрос за химическа реакция във вашето тяло.
It's not you.
Това не сте вие.
So therefore, a transcendentalist knows when these things come. This little buzz comes, you see. female, you know, male. This little buzz happens in the body, you see. They don't take it seriously. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudrama pa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarge shishantim apnoti nakamakami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always remains still can alone achieve peace, not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. Let's try it piece by piece. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but always remains still, can alone achieve peace. Not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So, even a devotee, you see, sex desire may enter into his consciousness. But he takes it just like the ocean takes the rivers into it. The ocean accepts the rivers that flow into it, but it does not allow itself to get higher and higher and higher, you see. How does the ocean accept all these millions and billions of gallons of water flowing into it every second without getting higher and higher and higher? It allows that water to evaporate, you see. So it doesn't mean that you cannot be a transcendentalist if sex desires are entering into your heart. It doesn't mean you cannot be a transcendentalist. As long as you let those desires evaporate, then you're okay. You can just say, well, here comes the sex desire. Well, I guess I have a healthy body. It means you have a healthy body, really. But the key is you let it evaporate. It's like, you know, here it comes, there it goes. When you see, oh, here comes an arrow from Cupid, Kamadeva, here comes an arrow. You let it just keep passing through your body, you see. Just let it go on. Hit somebody in the other room over there, you know. Don't take the arrows of Cupid seriously. Oh, I've been hit by the arrow. Oh. Now I have to have sex. No. Just let that arrow pass right through you, you see. Somebody else on the other side of town can take the arrow. You don't need to take it. You see, in this way, don't let... Even the desires may come, just let them... Okay, here it comes, there it goes. Hello? Goodbye. You don't have to invite the desire into your heart to take up residence. It's like the hotel, you see. When the hotel becomes filled up with customers, what do they put a sign out? No vacancy. So when Cupid may come and knock on enter the lobby of your heart, you see, to see if there's a room available in your hotel.
You just say, "Sorry, sir, no vacancy." Try the hotel next door. So, in this way, even a great transcendentalist, you see, if those desires come, it doesn't mean his spiritual life is finished, no. But it's how you handle those desires that will make you or break you in Krishna consciousness. And how to handle them? There's a nice prayer given by Jamunacharya Albandra. This is one of my favorite prayers. What to do when Kamadev hits you with an arrow? What do you do? Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde Navanavarasadamun yatarantumasit Tadavadi bhattanari Sangame smaryamane Bhavati mukushushtu nishtivanam cha. You know the translation? You should know this translation. Everyone should know this translation. Ever since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving ever-increasing pleasure in that service, whenever the thought of sex pleasure enters into my heart, my lips curl with distaste. And I spit at the thought. So that's what you do, you see. Whenever you feel lusty, have a good spit. If not grossly, at least in your heart, you should have a good spit. That's gross, you see. What a gross thought. That's disgusting, gross, nasty, abominable. Now let me get back to my japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't let yourself get carried away. Oh, that's pretty nice. I mean, that girl is really beautiful. That boy is really good looking. Wow, that's a pretty nice idea. No, you got to nip it right in the bud, you see. Jayato vishayan pungsang sangateshu bajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate krodat bhavati sang maha smriti vibrama smriti vangshat buddhi nashat pranashyati. Krishna says, nip it in the bud. When that thing comes, immediately nip it. Why? He describes in full detail. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 66 and 67, I think. He says, while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attraction for them. From such attraction, lust develops. And from lust comes anger. From anger comes delusion. From delusion comes bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down, bloop, into the material pool. See?
губим интелигентността си, той отпада отново в материалното блато.
They're finished, you see. So, as soon as you start to contemplate, oh, that girl is really looks good, or that boy really looks good, immediately, oh, Maya, immediately nip it, you see.
И в момента, в който почнете да съзерцавате тези мисли, трябва веднага да прекъснете.
In other words, instead of thinking of enjoying that person, think that person should be enjoyed by Krishna.
Вместо да си мислите да се наслаждавате на тази личност, трябва да си мислите, че Кришна е този, който трябва да се наслаждава.
Don't that the beauty of that person is not false.
Красотата на тази личност не е фалшива.
But that beauty is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna.
Кришна е този, който трябва да се наслаждава на тази красота.
In fact, Srila Prabhupada told us at 26 Second Avenue. All these young men in their 20s, he said, collect all the beautiful girls. And give them to
Krishna.
And he will enjoy rasa dance with them. So we don't say that beautiful girls are false. We say, yes, we want all the beautiful girls. For Krishna. You see? So in this way, if we offer everything to Krishna, then we can become free from all material desires. We have to be careful not to cheat. We have to be pure in our hearts. You see, even if you make an external show of being pure, if you keep the lusty desire in your heart, then you'll be like the dog. You know the story of that dog? He wanted to be the king. So he made a show of being sense-controlled. And all the citizens were fooled, you see. They put him on the throne and made him the king. They gave him a crown and everything. Doggy Maharaj, you see. But then someone threw a bone. Everything was finished. You see. He went running immediately for the bone. He left his crown and he went running for that bone. Jumped off the throne and went for that bone, you see. In spite of that show of being, now I am King Maharaj, you see. In his heart he was still a dog. So, just making a show of being a great brahmachari. That's not enough. One has to be a brahmachari in here, you see. Like Haridas Thakur, you see. And then one will always remain pure. One will never become allured by Srimati Maya Devi's charms. You may wonder why are you giving a brahmachari class. We are grihasthas. There's only one brahmachari in the room. Why are you giving a brahmachari class? Well, you know how many types of brahmacharis we have in the Vedic culture? We have five different kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari brahmacharis. Brahmacharini brahmacharis. Grihastha brahmacharis. Vanaprastha brahmacharis. And sannyas brahmacharis. Vedic culture means brahmachari. Everyone brahmachari. That is Vedic culture. Therefore, I'm giving today a brahmachari class. Because Krishna consciousness means brahmachari. So, are there any questions? Yeah, not really.
We know that sexual desire can appear not only in gross form but also in subtle forms. But this is very hard to register. How to?
Subtle sex desire means the desire to be the enjoyer. Profit, adoration, and distinction are three examples of that. I want to be worshipped. That is subtle sex. I want everybody to adore me. That is subtle sex. Anytime you want yourself to be the center of enjoyment, that is subtle sex. Therefore, we have to give up the enjoying spirit. By being the mood of the servant. Completely give up the enjoying spirit. Next question.
He talks about Dwarka, where we know that there were prostitutes there. It is described in Krishna book, and Prabhupada, he also says that there is a need for prostitutes in order to society to be kept pure. And he's asking them, all the inhabitants of Dwarka, there should be pure devotees because Krishna is there. So what is the need of prostitutes of sexual desires?
So, if there are prostitutes, why were there prostitutes in Dwarka? Everyone must have been a pure devotee. It would seem that the existence of prostitutes indicates that not everyone there was a pure devotee. To me. I don't see why a pure devotee would need a prostitute. Do you see why a pure devotee would need a prostitute? No, he wouldn't need a prostitute. So there must have been some who were not as pure. Either that or it was just a pastime. They didn't have any customers. It's also described the Kubja, you see. In the Krishna book, in great detail, it describes her house of prostitution that Krishna went to visit. There was sex, there was pornography all over the... Instead of here, we have pictures of Krishna and her house. She had pornography all over the walls. And so you get lusty just by walking in and look at the pictures.
Кришна в нейната къща имало картини, които изобразявали секс, така че да бъдеш...
Съскраби на Кришна Бук.
Това съм писал в Кришна Бук.
So that's in Mathura, that's in Vrajmandal, Mathura.
Това е в Mathura, Vrajmandal.
So either it's a pastime, they didn't really have any customers, or there was some impure people then.
Или е било забавление, където са нямали клиенти, или просто имало хора, които не са били...
That's the only thing, reasonable way I can understand it.
Това е единственият логичен начин, по който аз мога да го разбера.
Unless someone had some shastric evidence to the contrary, that would be my conclusion. It's either just the pastime, or there were some, you know, there were, you know, they didn't have customers, and it was just a pastime, or they really were some impure types. I mean, look in Vrindavan itself, those Brahmins who were the yogic Brahmins, they were living in Vrindavan, they were not completely pure.
Например, вижте забавлението с тези ведически брамани, които извършвали жертвоприношения, те живели в Вриндаван.
Even they were living in Vrindavan, still they were not completely pure, the yogic Brahmins.
Въпреки че са живели в Вриндавана, те все още не били напълно чисти.
And look at Kamsa, he was not completely pure. He was living in Mathura.
Kamsa, той живял в Mathura, но не е бил напълно чист.
If you could have yogic Brahmins and Kamsa living in Mathura, in the Brajmandal, you see, you could certainly have some prostitute hunters too. It makes common sense.
Ако Kamsa и тези брамани живели в Mathura, логично е да...
If you could have prostitute hunters in Mathura, I could have them in Dwarka also. Why not? They're both holy dhams.
Ако има проститутки в Mathura, значи в Dwarka може да има, и двете са святи места.
But don't you be a prostitute then.
Не бъди ти проститут.
Next question.
He has not read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, but he got the impression, he heard from somewhere that the essence of the Rasa Lila dance was Shravana. Is this true? That Shravana
was... The essence of the Rasa Lila dance was Shravana?
The essence.
Hearing?
Yes. Slushane. Yes.
Well, I can say that the Rasa dance certainly was the perfection of hearing. Just imagine what the beautiful sound of those ankle bells of all those gopi girls dancing. It must have been an amazing sound.
Само си представи звука от звънчетата на краката на всички тези гопи. Какъв удивителен звук е бил това.
That is the highest rasa of Krishna. Can you imagine just the sound of, even if you were a blind man, you see, if you could just sit in the rasa area and hear the rasa dance, that'd be the perfection of hearing, no doubt.
Това е най-вишко забавление на Кришна. Дори да си сляп човек, просто ако седнеш и слушаш...
The laughing of the gopi girls and their ankle bells, the ankle bells of the gopi girls.
И слушаш смеха на гопите и...
And the words of Krishna.
Думите на Кришна.
That would be the perfection of the ears, no doubt.
Със сигурност това е съвършенство на слушането. Няма съмнение.
Any other questions? All right, go ahead.
Един известен изкон гуру. Последът говори за това, че тези грехи, които ние носим, защо на грехите всъщност те Че саритата не са типичните дрехи за духовния свят, а гопи дрехи са типични.
Да, допълнението на това. Ако трябва да решим темата, сарит също така подобни хора казват, че те са...
Мишумански
дрехи. Да. Те не са. Не са него сарите преди мишумански дел на книги. Мишумански
дрехи. You spoke in your lecture about the significance of wearing the Vaishnava clothes. And Pandambanda Prabhu says that there's a popular ISKCON guru who is saying that actually this this dress is not necessary to wear because Krishna.
That's also the ISKCON guru that recently got a GVC resolution chastising him and had to go and apologize for things that he said that were not proper. He had apologized and made a written apology for him. It's the same GBC. He's being disciplined by the GBC. Actually, he has written one essay that one of my disciples in Mexico read, and she thought, oh, I should not wear a sari anymore after she read his article. But it's verified in the Veda base that Prabhupada said that all of my girls should wear saris. All of my female disciples should wear sari. So if this person has a different opinion than Srila
Prabhupada,
is that a bona fide opinion? Or is it a upa sampradaya opinion? Actually, I've been planning to write that. I have a personal relationship with that devotee that you're mentioning. He and I are friends, actually. I've been planning to write him a letter about this issue. And see if he's willing to apologize and back down on what he on that thing also. Because it's definitely not Prabhupada's mood. How many times did Prabhupada wear karmi clothes? How many times? No, we can't remember because he never did that. You can't count how many times Prabhupada wore karmic clothes. I mean, after he founded ISKCON, when he was a businessman, in those days they all wore dhotis anyway. There any picture of Prabhupada wearing pants ever? I don't know that he ever wore pants in his whole life. And I know I don't like to wear pants. I feel weird when I wear pants. In a coat and tie, I feel even more weird. I call it a monkey suit. But if you're for your job, you have to do it. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that for your job Or just like we have a military man here, he has to wear his uniform. It's okay. But everyone, when they come to the temple, I don't know why you all have to wear pants to the temple. You see? I don't know why you have to wear pants to the temple. Maybe you came straight from work, or maybe you're going straight to work. That I can understand. But if you're coming from home to the temple, and you're going back home after coming to the temple, what's the reason for wearing pants? Because somebody in Sofia might think you're weird or they see you wearing a dhoti? Where's your revolutionary spirit, Prabhu? We're making a spiritual revolution. Prabhupada, during the Gandhian era, he wore not a regular British mill dhoti, but he wore khadi dhoti as a political statement. During the days of Gandhi's movement, if you were a pro-Gandhian, you would not wear a milled cotton, you would wear khadi cotton, hand-woven cotton. Simply by wearing khadi, you were pushing forward Gandhi's movement. Because everyone must see, oh, here is a Gandhi and he's wearing khadi instead of milled cotton dhoti. So just by putting on a dhoti, you're making a spiritual revolution. You're making a political statement. That the Vaishnavas should be ruling this planet. Therefore, I encourage all the men to wear dhoti when they come to the temple. And wear dhoti at home also. Around the house. That's what I do. My ashram in Austin, I don't wear... Well, now I'm home, I can wear pants. Get to take off that silly dhoti now. No, I don't think that way. The only time I wear pants is when I cross the Russian border. And as soon as I can, I put on my dhoti and they go, I can take off those stupid pants finally. Now we've run out of time. We have to leave at 10 o'clock for the Macedonian border. And I'm wearing a dhoti on the Macedonian border. But we have to... It's a quick one? All right, go ahead. If it's a short... I'll give you a short answer if it's all right. You can ask the question.
What to do if the husband has only one dhoti and the wife, she has 10 saris? What to do in this?
If the wife has 10 saris, the husband has one dhoti?
Yes.
Maybe you can dye them white and wear them as dhotis. So dhotis. If she doesn't mind giving a few saris, maybe you can dye them, have nice silk dhotis. But you have to wear them as the dhoti stuff. I'm only joking. All right.
Само
the first years when she joined the devotees, she had only two saris, and that were the only dress she was wearing. She just come. He says that actually there are no dhotis here. There's no import of dhotis.
I can give you a place on the internet. You can order them.
Yeah? Да ти дам...
No.
По интернет адрес където си поръчаш.
Okay.
I'll give you a link. You can order dhoti by the internet. No problem. Some industrious household are going to start a dhoti import emporium. Yeah. Supply dhotis to all the men here in Bulgaria. Okay, that's it. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.